Build Back Better could be setting the U.S. up for a trade dispute. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. House Democrats have just passed the Build Back Better economic package. That's the second part of President Biden's signature domestic agenda. It looks to make child care more affordable, create universal pre-K, and push a transition to green energy, among many other things. But there is one element of this package that the nation of Canada would like to go away. It has to do with cars, specifically the car manufacturing supply chain between the two countries. Marketplace's Nova Sappho's here with more on that. Good morning, Nova.
Good morning, Sabri.
So the issue here is that Canada says the bill that, as it's written now, would somehow undermine its efforts to build up an electric vehicle industry. Why?
Well, all right. So in the bill, there is a tax credit for electric vehicles, either fully electric cars or plug-in hybrids. And if you buy an electric car, you could get potentially up to $12,000 off the price. Now, but that's if the car is made at a unionized plant in the U.S. And after 2026, only cars made in the U.S. would qualify for any tax credit at all, whether it's $12,000 or something less. So Canada is opposed to this. They point to the fact that North American car manufacturing is very integrated, lots of cross-border traffic. And they say, essentially, you can't just favor American-made cars and leave us out.
Yeah. What about the new trade agreement that we have with Canada and Mexico, the USMCA? Does that not address this somehow?
Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask U.S. officials, the EV tax incentive is operating within the rules. The White House says it's just helping American consumers. Canada thinks the exact opposite, that this would be a clear violation of the USMCA because they say it discriminates against Canadian manufacturers. And Canadian officials say this could become the central issue of contention between the two countries if the tax incentive survives. But that is a big if, Sabri, because Senator Joe Manchin has said he opposes it in its current form. So we'll have to see what happens once the bill gets to the Senate.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We've talked a lot about supply chain problems driving shortages and inflation, but there may be signs that these kinks in supply are starting to ease in several sectors of the economy. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial.
We've seen production numbers from the automakers, for example, which fell every month, 5 months in a row from the beginning of this year through May. The indication from auto CEOs is that they are getting more semiconductor chips. Chip production has accelerated, and finally, we're seeing auto production accelerating too. The backlog at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach in the last month, the number of containers in those ports is down by 29%. And the suggestion is that the trucking backlog is beginning to ease as well. And then Walmart telling the Wall Street Journal this week, they have plenty of products for the Christmas season.
Two and a half months ago, remnants of Hurricane Ida deluged New York City with record amounts of rain and record flooding. More than a dozen people died when their basement apartments flooded. Many more lost everything. Those basement apartments were technically illegal, but for some people, they were the only option. As Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports, there are long-running efforts to legalize those apartments and make them safer.
People have been living in illegal, unsafe basement apartments in New York City since forever, often because it's all they can afford.
What we learned from Ida is that this affordable housing crisis intersects greatly now with the climate crisis.
Rebecca Morris is with the Pratt Center for Community Development, which has been working for years on a campaign to legalize more basement apartments and make them safer. Before the storm in September, the focus had mostly been on fire.
Because that was usually what was considered the biggest safety issue.
Fire and the risk of coastal flooding.
But what we saw with Ida was that it wasn't just coastal storm flooding that we had to worry about, but also flooding from rain itself.
Jessica Katz is with the nonprofit Citizens Housing and Planning Council. She says by some estimates, up to 100,000 New Yorkers are living in illegal basement apartments. And because they're illegal, no one knows where they all are. So the first step toward making them safer is figuring that out.
so that if there were a flood coming and an evacuation was necessary, we would know who to speak to about that.
But she says the city also needs to make it easier and cheaper for people who own basement apartments to bring them up to code by getting rid of some regulations that have nothing to do with safety.
And you could focus your efforts on safety measures around egress, pumps, perhaps, and other types of floodproofing.
But there's no getting around the fact that water flows downhill.
Timon McPherson is a member of the New York City Panel on Climate Change.
When there's significant water flowing along the streets and on the sidewalks, it's going to go down into any opening it can. And there's a limited amount of our ability to stop that.
The only real long-term solutions, McPherson says, are to build affordable housing that's not so vulnerable to flooding and update the city's stormwater infrastructure so it can better handle torrential rain. Rob Freudenberg at the nonprofit Regional Plan Association says the city is already doing things like installing rain gardens and porous pavement.
We just need to do more of it in more places and quicker.
Starting, he says, with neighborhoods that are most prone to flooding. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.